Now, the video you just watched is a testament to the power of technology today. And some of today's most important technological advances are in the realm of artificial intelligence. And here to tell us more about that are two experts in the field of human-computer interaction, Microsoft Research Principal Software Development Engineer Dan Driscoll and Senior Program Manager for Cognitive Services Cornelia Carapcha. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We've got a lot to talk about here. But first, our poll question du jour, or for the session, I should say. We're going to ask poll questions throughout the day. We'd love for you to weigh in, and we'll reveal these results as we do during the interview here. Which best describes your attitude towards implementing AI technologies today? A, I need to hire a PhD to help me. Understandable. B, I can start coding myself. No problem. C, I'm super excited but don't know where to start. Bold admission. D, I'm not interested in AI. What do you think? Weigh in, and we will reveal those results before you know it here during this interview. So let's start in the beginning here. We're hearing so much about AI these days. It was once just a thing in movies, but now you're hearing it in real conversations. Why are we hearing so much about it?
So I think over the past few years, you've had a few things converge in really interesting ways. You've had software and hardware and, of course, money, investment money, mm-hmm. all converging into the kind of tech that's needed to support AI. And some of the coolest advances we've seen over the past few years have come from deep learning. And deep learning relies on certain kinds of algorithms and sometimes even custom hardware to mm-hmm. really make it work to its full potential. Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition to the changes that we've been seeing in AI, we've also been seeing evolution in the way that people interact with software, and in sure. particular, conversational software. It seems like forever ago in internet years, but, you know, Skype didn't even exist, 12 years ago, 13 right. years ago was when it first came out. Prior to that, people, when they wanted to talk with each other, had to pick up phones. Their interactions socially were, you know, much more in person. They weren't so connected. And we live in a very different world now. So our engagement with other people is different, and our engagement with the software that we use to connect with those people is different, too. I'm in the tech world, and it seems very natural to me to connect with someone over technology, mm-hmm. but you know, my family, my friends, they've over time been getting more and more used to connecting to others socially. And as they do so, they're now getting used to connecting to software itself.
Right.
So while we've been seeing this emergence in AI, we've also been seeing a change in the way that people communicate. And this now presents an opportunity for people to actually talk directly to software. And so sure. that's where we've been seeing the emergence of things like chatbots.
Right. So you think a lot of it has to do even just socially that we're not as scared of technology. Like you said, friends, family, we all had those people who were, I don't want to get on that thing. What is the social media? What is, I don't want to. And now that we've seen it work in younger generations, that's just all they know. So a lot of it just has to do with the fact that socially we're just getting more familiar with that kind of technology and maybe a little more trustful.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a natural way that we communicate now. Yeah. And it absolutely makes sense that we'd want to talk to our software in the same way that we are already talking with our friends and family.
And you talked about chatbots there. Mm-hmm. I want to circle back to that. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks hearing about that. For those not familiar, explain chatbots.
Yeah, so a chatbot is one type of conversational software. Mm-hmm. And what we do in my team, in the Bot Framework team, is we produce conversational software that works in many different cases. So, I think the oldest piece of conversational technology that I can think of is actually the phone number that you could use to call up and get the current time.
Right.
That's a piece of conversational technology where it can't listen to you. It couldn't hear anything. All it did was tell you information, but it was very simple, very conversational, and really easy to understand. You just told someone, here's a phone number, call this, and even if it were 20, 30 years ago, they'd have no problem understanding how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Chatbots are another type of conversational software where there's a personality that powers the chat that you're having with the software. But there's also conversational software where you can talk to, let's say, your bank, or you can talk to another website, and you can interact with text in a way that's natural to you as the user, so mm-hmm. you don't have to learn some new UI. But it's still accessible over high-speed means. You don't have to wait for an operator. You can access it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what chatbots are. And some chatbots are really simple. They are, simple games or like the phone number that you used to be able to call. Some of them are very complex and are powered by not only AI to drive their personalities, but even ones that don't have, very complicated personalities, even like your banking software, for instance, is going to be powered by AI to understand what you have said in written speech.
Now, for anybody certainly under 30, they're going, wait, there was a phone number you called to tell what time it is, and then you'd have to explain, yeah, our phones didn't have a clock on them, and then they were plugged in, and believe it or not, you had to call, and we'd just go down a whole rabbit hole there. That'd be very confusing.
Yeah.
Can you show us one of these chatbots in action?
Yeah, totally.
Great.
So the bot that I'm about to show you is called CaptionBot, and it's a pretty simple bot. It takes an image as its input, whether you send that image through a URL or you just upload an image to it, and tries to understand what's in the image and create a coherent description for it. It's kind of like if you were trying to describe the image that I'm showing you, you would come up with some sentence. So that's what we try to do with CaptionBot. And the cool thing about it, first off, you can go and try it yourself, CaptionBot.ai. The cool thing about it is that we built it using Bot Framework and using Microsoft Cognitive Services. We built it once, and we were able, via Bot Framework, to deploy it to multiple channels. One of those channels, it's this website itself, CaptionBot.ai. And let me show you how it works first on the website. I'm on CaptionBot.ai. I will just select one of the images that's here on this ribbon. And the system comes back saying, I think it's a young man jumping in the air on a skateboard. There was no metadata attached to this image that would help the AI behind it understand it better. It's purely from the pixels in the image that it did that understanding. And like I said, this is a bot that we built only once. And via Bot Framework, we were able to plug it into multiple channels. And another channel is Skype. So let me show you how it actually works in Skype. Again, I'll pick an image. And it's an election year, so I picked one of the candidates. Mm-hmm. And so again, it tries to look at the image. And it tries to understand what it is that we just sent it. Takes a little bit over Skype. Let's see if it, you know, it's a live demo when things are lagging a little bit. Up, there we go. So it says, I'm not really confident, but I think it's a smiling woman who is looking at the camera, and she seems happy. I'm 99% sure that's Hillary Rodham Clinton. So this is how AI via Microsoft Cognitive Services and Bot Framework come together to create a simple bot that does some really nifty
pretty
stuff.
Pretty impressive, yeah. And she was only giving half a smile, and it still recognized, I think that's a smile, I'm pretty sure. Before we move on, let's reveal the results to our poll question. We like to put those out to the audience, and we want to reveal the results so that you can see how you stack up alongside your peers. Let's reveal that poll here. Which best describes your attitude towards implementing artificial intelligence technologies today? A, I need to hire a PhD to help me. Maybe that's you. B, I can start coding myself. I got it, no problem. C, I'm super excited, have no idea where to start. Or D, I have no interest. Survey says 71% say, yeah, very exciting, have no idea where to start. Is that good news or bad news?
I think that's great news.
Great news. That's great news. Yeah. I think we have a lot of tools that can help you get started with AI and with creating chatbots.
Yeah.
I'm glad that that the first option was on that list, right? I feel like I need a PhD to help me get started.
Sure.
I certainly felt like this when I was first getting into AI, but the tools have become so usable these days. It's no longer, you know, I have this mental image of an AI engineer in a white lab coat with a pair of tweezers working on a robot brain.
Sure.
But it's nowhere near that complicated. All the tools that Cornelia is going to be talking about in the Cognitive Services suite make it really easy to solve very specific problems. And the UIs for them are great. They're super easy to get started with.
Well, let's start from the Microsoft side. What is Microsoft's bot framework? Explain that.
Great question. So the bot framework is a set of tools and services that we produce to make it really easy to build conversational software and to integrate the AI that we were just talking about. But conversational software, to get started, you need a couple of things just to be able to send and receive messages. And so if you're trying to build a piece of conversational software, the first thing you want to do is connect it up to users. And so we have a component within the bot framework called the bot connector that allows you to take your software, whatever it is, and we'll get to how to write that software in a minute. But it lets you take that software and connect it up to users on channels like Skype, Facebook. We have the website that Cornelia showed. The CaptionBot website is powered using that bot connector. We have right now 10 different channels where you can very easily connect your bot up to users. Now, once you've got your bot talking to users, you actually need something inside of the bot to actually hold that conversation. And so we have an open source SDK for both C# and Node.js called the Bot Builder that makes it really easy to create conversational models, makes it really easy to hold a conversation, a multi-turn conversation with a user, understand what they've said in the past, and then easily integrate it with the cognitive services, and in particular services like LUIS, the Language Understanding and Intelligence Service, which makes it really easy to process text. So the bot framework is an open platform. Like I said, it's the entire SDK is available on GitHub. And we know that many people who are going to be building conversational bots and conversational software are going to be integrating with them with existing systems. They're going to have, you know, maybe a line of business application they're tying into, or maybe they're extending an existing website. Mm-hmm. And so we've put all of the different pieces out there so that you can integrate the ones that make sense for you. And if you have an existing solution, that's fine. You can plug it into the pieces inside of the bot framework.
Wow. All right. Now, Cornelia, let's go to the other side of the fence. Talk to us about Microsoft's cognitive services.
So since 71 of the participants in the poll said they don't know where to start, well, let me tell you where to start. Go to Microsoft.com/cognitive. One website, you can find all of the APIs and services that Microsoft supports to allow you to easily build understanding in your app, whatever your app is, whether it's a bot or whether it's a productivity app. And our APIs, they're simple REST APIs. Anybody who has low to medium, high skills in coding can get started with them. And they allow you to do everything from language understanding, image understanding. CaptionBot is built using fully using the image understanding from cognitive services. You can do video understanding, and you can also use cool APIs like the search APIs from Bing and integrate search into your app as well. Like I said, they are very easy to use. Their goal was to democratize all of these pretty complicated models that Microsoft has had baked in its various products over the years. Like I said, search was baked into Bing. Now you can access it via an API. Image understanding was baked into things like Windows Hello that recognize your face and know who you are. Now it's also part of the Face API. That's on Microsoft.com/cognitive. And last but not least, we have had image understanding and video understanding for a while. Now that's part of Microsoft Cognitive Services as well. So really easy to get started, and we tried to make these so that anybody can use them for whatever your app is.
Yeah, we love hearing that. Well, I want to give you both the opportunity to grandstand and to forecast and put it and take out the crystal ball. What's next, both from cognitive services and bot framework?
So I think for cognitive services, we've heard a lot from our users, the developers who have already been using cognitive services for language or text understanding or image understanding. And we know that the applications are endless, and they tend to be very specific, so specific that sometimes our default models may not work the best. I'll give you an example. We have been doing speech-to-text understanding for quite a while, and we have pre-canned models that work in a great majority of the cases. However, if you're trying to understand your customers going through the driveway, or if you're trying to understand somebody with a heavy accent like mine, they might not work so well. So we have a service like Chris, the custom recognition intelligence service, that would allow you to customize the speech-to-text models for the audio that you're more likely to see in your app. So if you know that you'll expect a lot of people with accents, you can feed it audio files of people with accents and make it work better. So the direction that we're shifting in is to make sure that we support these kinds of scenarios, and we allow you, the developer, to customize the existing models for your needs.
Making more and more practical. That's great.
Exactly.
We love hearing that. All right. And let's circle back. The bot framework, what do you think? What's next? What's down the road? What are you excited about?
Oh, we have so much that we're working on, but there are some things that we actually just released a few days ago that we're really excited about. So the bot framework hasn't even been out for 6 months yet, but we've learned so much about the way that people are using the bot framework and cognitive services as well to build really great applications. And one pattern that we see is that a developer has an existing database full of data, and they want to create a bot that can query across that data or answer request from a user and maybe bounce it off that database. And so we recently released, in collaboration with the Azure Search team, a sample and some code that lets developers really easily integrate Azure Search into their bot to make it really quick and easy to build bots that can answer questions about like events or user information in your database. So we made it even easier now to create a bot that has search in it.
Now, artificial intelligence, Hollywood loves it. That's why many young folks even know about it, quite frankly. Loaded question, but where do you see AI going?
We've seen so many people build really like broad and fantastic solutions with AI and conversation already. And I feel like there's so much promise in the conversational paradigm itself, like the way that you interact with software conversationally. There's... I think there's What we've learned in the platform is that conversational software is a little bit different than existing software. So a user who's clicking through a web page, their interaction with the software is only when the web page loads or maybe a couple of Ajax calls in the background. But when they click the back button, we don't see that inside of the platform itself. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a conversation, when you're having a group conversation, it's more than just one person. You can have many people involved. And that conversation, the contents of the conversation, you have the history that the user can see, so they can see what they've done in the past. But it's also accessible. It's really easy for someone who isn't able to read the text to maybe read the text over an audio or speech system. And so we see the breadth of conversational platforms going really, really broadly. As we broaden the reach of conversational software, we're going to need smarter and smarter systems to power that. We're going to have to integrate more and more intelligence. And so I think the what I'm seeing in the cognitive services world is that we're building more and more sophisticated AI systems over time. And I'm really excited about how we can couple these things together.
So I think you'll have some of the AI that evolves in the shape of chatbots and these very personal, very potentially human-sounding assistants. But over the next few years, I also think you'll see AI develop in ways where it actually helps you in your day-to-day job. You're a knowledge worker like me. You get hundreds of emails every day. Then people upload content to your team's OneDrive or to your team's SharePoint. What's most important for you to focus on? Well, ideally, AI should proactively surface that most important content for you to take action on. Or you have a store with tens of products on the shelves, and one is about to run out. Right now, you send a person to walk on the store and see which one is running out. Well, AI can understand what's in images, and it can alert you.
Very exciting stuff. Hey, before we let you run, quick question via Twitter from our audience joining us online live right now. Matthew Cruz asks, the caption bot, super cool. I wonder what's next for chatbots. Quick reaction, response to that.
I think, looking at the breadth of where chatbots are going, like Dan was saying, it's really hard to predict what's really going to be next. Yeah. We are just as excited to see where this goes as anybody else. And we're seeing people apply it anywhere from productivity for chatbots, giving feedback in an easy and constructive way to your coworkers, for example, to fun little bots like CaptionBot. It was something that was built for fun.
I think CaptionBot's great too, because not only can you see the breadth of technology that can power a bot, like who would think that a bot that can tag an image is something that you would put over a chat interface, but someone did that. I think you can also see the breadth of the platforms that are available to put your bot in new and interesting places. So sure, you can talk to CaptionBot on Skype. Why can't I just send a bot a picture and have it send a response back? Yeah, we can do that. You can also put it in a web page, and so these bots are going to appear in more and more places and make it easier for you to interact with software without having to learn an entirely new UI.
So not unlike Hollywood, it's very much a tease of the audience. Stay tuned. The sequel's coming. Mm-hmm. We love it. Dan Cornelia, thank you so much for your time. This is great.